I'm here with Professor Dana Chandler, known to many KGLP listeners as the longtime host of Blues Nation. Hello, Professor.
Hello, and how are you today?
Under the circumstances, you know, we'll see.
Yes, we are living through some very tough times, Rachel.
This week, we saw the funeral of George Floyd, the most recent example of police brutality in the United States. This is not a phenomenon that's strange to many autocratic countries that have very abusive police, and the United States has a long history of abuse from authorities. There have been many protests, and they're still going on. And it's complicated by the fact that we're still in the middle of a pandemic. A president encouraging everyone to go back to work, even without protections. You know, many of us living in fear, but especially people of color living in fear. This is not a new thing, however.
No, it's not new. I have worked as a person in the civil rights struggle for 62 years, because I'm 79 years old, and there's never been a time when, during the course of the year that I happen to be in, when black people were not being murdered by the police. There's never been a time. This is fairly new in terms of actually visually seeing the murders for most white people, but it's not something that most black people have not seen. I mean, actually seen, been a part of, suffered from, and etc. So we're living in very harsh times, but for African Americans like me, particularly those with skin as dark as mine, this is not unusual at all.
I was just looking at an article which talked about how even in the age of video, with all of the video of killings by police, and others, that it's not making a difference in what people think overall. And the article said basically that unless it's tied to power, it's hard to make that video work. Kamala Harris, the senator who had run a presidential campaign, recently said, she was a former prosecutor in California, said that in the case of several recent murders by police, she thinks it will be difficult to get convictions just because of the status quo.
Well, that's because in America, it's always true that white is right. White people are always right no matter what. You can be standing there watching someone being murdered, as we have been able to do because of the videos, to actually sit wherever we happen to be and watch someone being murdered by the police. And yet, this system will work as hard as it can to free those police officers and not have them go to jail. And my question always is, why is that? Why do white people have the privilege of murdering us and getting away with it? I don't understand it.
It goes as far back as slavery in the United States.
1619, yeah. You know, from the minute that we were brought as what I call prisoners of war from Africa to this place, we have been successfully murdered whenever white people feel like it.
Again, for over 400 years, 401 years plus, there has been an ongoing philosophy that anyone who is not of European descent and Anglo is treated as though they are less than.
Yes, that is a definition that white people have put together for their own personal pleasure. One of the greatest challenges we have are the people who remain silent in the midst, in the middle of all of that. Something which, by the way, has ended this time around. So even though I feel very upset about what has happened visually in terms of that video about George Floyd, and why do I say Lloyd? What is his last name?
George Floyd.
George Floyd. White people saw that video and have come out of their houses for the first time in a really serious national and international basis. This has affected people, non-white people, all over the world. and they've come out of their houses along with a whole lot of white people, which is absolutely amazing to me because I've seen them not come out of their houses for 62 years. And now all of a sudden they're coming out in droves because they believe us now. That's the thing. This particular video of this white man casually murdering this black man, who we later found out is very much of a Christian, comes from a Christian background, whole family is Christians, have been fighting for the rights of people all along, and he was too, really so profoundly affected the white world that they are coming out, and they're coming out, and they're coming out, and they're coming out, which is amazing, because usually the few that would come out for a day. Now, they're not letting this go. You know, and I sit in my house and I go, thank you, Jesus. Finally, at last, you're getting it.
Some very interesting developments along with the recent protests. The current president of the United States.
He's insane. That man is actually insane. And he does things which are insane every single day. And you watch some white people not wanting to pay any attention to that. You know, white is right. So, you know, that's our white president. We wanted a white president. We got a white president. We don't care what kind of white president he is. We don't care that he's crazy. We're simply going to follow whatever he says. He told them that the truth was a lie, and they believe it.
Trump attempted to sic the National Guard and the U.S. military onto protesters. Not violent protesters, mind you, all protesters, to stop the protests. And an interesting thing about that is he had to backtrack because there was overwhelming opposition, not only from citizens across the country, but even from people in his own Republican Party, former members of administration came forward to say that this was unacceptable, that you don't put military on the streets against civilians who are peacefully protesting. This may be a sea change.
Maybe, but we have to worry about what he's going to do as we get more and more towards the election. What if the whole country comes out against Trump? Will he then call the military out to put down the people who will be in the street when they watch what he's going to do to voting rights? I mean, I'm saying watch what he's going to do. He is going to suppress the vote. You know, and I've been saying that for the last 3 years. He does not want to come out of power, mostly because he knows that if he comes out of power, he's going to jail. He's very clear about that. He's going to lose his family fortune, and some of his children are going to jail with him. And he's going to do whatever he can to keep that from happening. And people who get in his way are going to get hurt.
Now, Professor, you have mentioned your long history, working in the civil rights movement, going back to your years growing up in the Boston area.
Yes, I was 18 years old when I made a formal appearance where I was speaking out against racism and oppression and all of that kind of stuff at the Bethel synagogue on Brookline Avenue in Boston. So that's 62 years. That's a long time.
Many of those who have been involved in the civil rights struggle, whether in the 50s, the 60s, and on, have a history of facing abuse by the police, of being beaten by the police. Some have not survived.
This is very true. Many of my friends have not survived. One of the things that hurts very much is the loss of so many friends because of this COVID-19. I've lost easily over 100 friends from this COVID-19 because, of course, because I'm 79, all of the people who are of color and dying because of preconditions and that sort of thing, I fall into that category. Leaving my house could be my own death sentence, especially since so many people don't seem to care about what you have to do in order for this thing not to play to kill your grandmother and your grandfather. You know, these young people who run out of the house, and middle-aged people as well, and they don't wear masks, they don't do social distances, and they really don't understand that you can literally kill people by going out of the house and speaking without a mask, because you're spitting on people, you know, and they don't seem to get it. So for me, it's a frightening proposition just to go out and get food.
Many of the protests have had some people wearing masks, but not everybody wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And even the reactionary crowds that were trying to confront them, many of those were not wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. People are playing games with their own lives. Of course they are. But they're also playing games to the person standing next to them, you know, because you're breathing out this terrible disease, I call it that anyway. You can kill people. You've got to stop and think about the person standing next to it. You can carry this stuff home to your wife and children, your husbands, your fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, just about anybody who may not know about, what is that phrase that they use when they say this, it's some kind of something that, I can't think of the word, but anyway, you can kill people.
One of the things that happened nationally just in the last couple of months was that you saw several political leaders, mostly conservative, mostly Republican, actually stating that elders should be willing to die in order to support the economy. And if the economy can be rushed open, mm-hmm. elders shouldn't mind dying as a result of having everything reopen.
These are white people who are doing this. In my 62 years, it's never been people of color doing all of this kind of foolishness. You don't hear anybody black saying, rush out into the streets and help our economy be saved. Economy be damned. We're supposed to be a country that cares about people, but we don't. The wealthy, the super wealthy, they don't care about anybody but themselves. And so they're the ones leaping out in public, saying stupid things like, you know, come on out of the house, you know, go to work. Why? Because they want to keep making money. And it's all, and America's God is money. It, you know, Jesus doesn't stand a chance in America when we start talking about money.
You did mention briefly that the rate of infection and the death rate among minorities, African American in particular, is much higher than in the general population.
I think they say six times higher. I'm not really sure what the numbers are, and these days my mind doesn't remember numbers as well as it used to. But six times as many, and much of it, as you look at it, are people who work in hospitals and places like that, servicing other white people, you know, and they die because they go to work to make sure some of your people live. This is insane, but it's not anything different than what happened during the yellow fever epidemic in the South during slavery, where black people were the ones washing the bodies and cleaning up all the bleeding and crap and stuff that was going on because of people who had yellow fever, and they then died. And we don't know who those people were who died. We don't know who these people are who are dying now. You know, it just seems like we have a people who still believe that a white life is more important than a black life.
Many African-American families have health issues, but as you alluded to, many in the African American community have to work because they don't have the option of sheltering at home without an income.
Well, not only that, but we die because of the lifestyle we've had to lead in terms of what white people produce and present to us as food and all that kind of stuff. I'm always stunned when I look at a package and I read about all the chemicals that are absolutely unnecessary that's in food. And that stuff, you know, you can't get rid of it, you can't get it out of your cells, And so you corrupt the ability of your body to create new correct cells, and therefore you catch various things and you die, you know. Our problem in America has always been white people. It's white people. I wish that white people would realize that. I think they're starting to. But I don't know how much that's going to help us as a people, unless the things that occur to us day to day change. You know, my garbage is packaging from supermarkets, you know. I don't have food to throw out. For one thing, I have one of those things that chops food. What are they called? That are in the sink.
Garbage disposal.
Thank you. Garbage disposal units. So I don't have to worry about that pretty much. But packaging. Tons and tons of packaging. When I eat my food, I've cooked stuff that have so many chemicals in it. They say something like we have 200 individual types of chemicals in our body. How can you lead a life to wonderful old age, of course, which I've been lucky enough to do, without dying from the crap that we have to eat so somebody else can profit and make money? The people that create this stuff don't eat the food that they're selling.
That is something that has been pointed out by many CEOs of corporations, mm-hmm. that sell the fast food, that sell the prepackaged foods. They are making tremendous profits by selling foods which are packaged for longer life, and they themselves say they won't eat it. They eat other things.
I once tested that theory by buying a hamburger at one of the fast food places, I won't be mean to name it, and sitting it out, and just sitting it there. It sat there for 6 months and was, they would say that it was edible. It, to me, of course, it wasn't, because it was all dried out, but it did not mold. There was no mold at all. It's just amazing to me.
There's a relatively recent adage, it's probably about 50 years old. It was quoted, I believe, by some of the health food practitioners, and the saying is, if the food doesn't spoil, don't eat it. If the food will spoil, eat it before it does.
Absolutely correct. I mean, who can argue that point?
In your experience with protests and with direct knowledge of abuse by authorities over, African American citizens. Do you see any differences in how the police or how authorities are approaching these matters now?
No, I do not. I live here in Gallup, New Mexico. I was recently stopped by a state trooper who stopped me, and I asked him, I said, why did you stop me? What did I do? And he said, well, your car is riding low. Can I check to see whether you have drugs in it? You know? Here I am, a retired college professor, a nationally renowned artist, and et cetera. And his first thought was this old man that he was talking to, because that's just a couple of years ago, maybe he was bringing drugs up from Mexico or something like that. So I told him no. I said, you know, I used what I had been taught. Do you have probable cause and all of those kind of things? He eventually allowed me to go, but made sure that he gave me a ticket that cost me $70. Because he said I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, which of course I had taken off because he stopped me. You know, and I was fearing for my life. Very seriously, I was not, in my own mind, this was not a kidding situation. I was in danger of losing my life if I had done anything stupid. Because I'm not exactly a small man, you know, and he would say, you know, he feared for his life, this big black man, and blah, blah, blah. That's something I fear about for every day. My sons fear about it every day because they get stopped by the police on a regular basis.
When elders, when older people are abused by the police. They don't have the stamina even of a younger person. So, you know, in the news there was one of the protesters, peaceful protesters, was a 75-year-old man.
I saw that, yes.
Who was pushed by the police over onto the ground, hit his head, fractured his skull. He was bleeding from his ear. He's still in a serious condition in the hospital. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the particular law enforcement authorities who did this, but this is a common occurrence.
Yes, it is a common occurrence. It's sad when it happens, but in terms of the how do I put this? In terms of white people seeing that they don't count either, that these police will knock them down and cause them serious physical damage. You know, it was good that somebody was there with a camera. And I want to say to everybody out there, if you have a camera and you see something, record it and put it on social media as quickly as you can so that these people cannot get away with this stuff all the time. So that part, it was good. We can now identify these people, except that a whole lot of them now are wearing outfits that have no identification on them. They're not turning on their cameras, which now is against the law because of the black, what do they call that thing? The group of politicians in the government, the Black Caucus or whatever it's called. So we are at least starting to get some things that will be good for us as human beings in America in terms of these police forces that Donald Trump seems to worship. And it's interesting to me that the President of the United States feels free to put himself in the White House with a huge barricade all around the whole place that distances him from the American people. And then just, I don't understand that foolish, dumb thing that he did. Why would he hold up a Bible? He doesn't believe in the Bible. You know, he doesn't believe in Christianity. He's not a Christian. I mean, he's a failed Christian. He's, you know,
He has received criticism not only from the religious community, but also from even his Republican cohorts. Mm-hmm. Because what he did wasn't just a photo op. Peaceful protests were going on in Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C., near the White House. Mm-hmm. And he called out the National Guard to gas and drive off violently these protesters to clear the streets so that he could walk casually over to this church, hold up a Bible upside down.
Well,
for a photo op. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he wasn't interested in the church. He wasn't interested in talking to anybody at the church. He just wanted the photo op.
Yeah, he just wanted the opportunity to say that I am the law and order president. Well, we don't elect law and order presidents. That's not what the American people do. We elect people. The president of the United States is the manager of the corporation that we call the United States, because that's pretty much what we are, a huge corporation. And his job is to manage it for us. He's managing it for himself. And it's going to cost us. He is, what is the word I wanted to use? He is disassembling the United States of America.
He has been trying very hard.
And he's very successful because other white men are, you know, very, very few white women, but white men are allowing him to do that. The cowards that we have in on the elected side of the Republican side, I never saw so many cowards in my life, in my whole history in this country. So many cowards who know that he is doing things which are against all the principles of the country, all the principles that he's trying to disassemble. It's sad to see. It's really sad. But we have an opportunity. We as Americans have an opportunity in terms of the next election. We can cast all of them out. All we have to do is just go vote, which you will see him try to ruin that opportunity.
Certainly there's been a history of the Republicans with gerrymandering, with voter suppression over the last decades, trying to reduce, corrupt the access to the polls for low-income and minority individuals, because those individuals tend not to vote for Republicans.
They're not trying, they're succeeding. They're being very successful in taking the right to vote away from the American people. And they will be doing a lot of that, because they're already doing that now, in terms of this whole idea that the president has of disassembling the post office is a deliberate attempt to ruin the upcoming election and making sure that people can't have, what do they call it, with the voting?
Absentee ballots,
thank
mail-in
you
votes,
yes.
Early voting.
He's trying to destroy that opportunity as part of his business dissembling the United States.
It's a dangerous time.
Yes, it's a very dangerous time, you know. And it really is very, very dangerous, young people, for us old people during this time. You've got to help us. You've got to help us. It really is bothersome, to, as I think I said in that thing I did for the radio, to go to the stores in the morning and find all of you young people standing there. And one of the things I find most bothersome is when you see an elder, you won't say to the elder, please come and get in front of me. You know, you'll just let the elder stand there on trembling legs waiting to get into a store. They really can't comfortably walk around. You were taught better than that. Please do what your grandparents taught you to do.
Other than voting, other than taking political action to encourage people to vote and to do everything they can to change the way that this nation is governed, change the way that individual states are governed, what are some other things that you would recommend?
Well, I think that everything is in place for that. Your grandmothers and grandfathers and granduncles and et cetera have already taught you young people how you should treat your elders. Please treat your elders better than I have witnessed you treat elders everywhere in this country, because I'm not only from Gallup, I come from Boston, and I saw an awful lot of mistreatment of elder people. Stop trying to get in front of us when we're going somewhere. Please stop rushing when you see us coming down the street. Walk around us, not through us. Treat your elders kindly, treat other people kindly. God does not see race, why do you? And that's probably, if people will just follow the two commandments that Jesus said, and if you go and you look into religion, it's the same two commandments throughout all of religion, which is honor God before everything else, and be kind to your neighbors. If they would just do those two things, much of what's going on that's bad in America will disappear.
Well, it was just a few generations ago that elder citizens, elder members of the family were seen as heads of the family, were seen as the leaders of the family, and there was an understanding that you would respect the elders of your community, of your family. And that has shifted dramatically just in the last 50 years.
Well, it's even worse than that. I'm a father, a brother, of course, a son, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather. And what bothers me most of all is the way that men treat women. That just blows me away. How can you treat women the way that you treat women? They are your equal. In my lifetime, women that I have known have always been smarter than me, you know. And I, practically speaking, I think that women are smarter than men in any way. I've always felt that way. stop mistreating your women. You know, they are your equal and your partner in life. And that's something that comes straight out of all religious books. And I don't understand why men think that they can just beat up on and kill and murder and rape and do all kinds of crazy things to women. These are your mothers and your daughters and your aunties and et cetera. We've got to continue to treat women better. One of the things that's happening is that that's starting to change, and women are getting in positions of power, so you're not going to be able to mistreat them very much longer the way that you have been historically. It's really bothersome to me when I see a man smack a woman, which I have seen many times in my life, and I have smacked the man, but you know that's when I was young and strong. I can't do that now. Stop beating up on women and treat them with this respect that they're due. You came out of a woman. You need to treat those women better.
During the pandemic, one of the horrific aspects of this subject is that many women and children, because of the stay-at-home orders, have literally been trapped in their homes. It makes it very difficult even to call for help because the abuser is right there with them.
Yes. And I wish that there was some way that some kind of legislation that was enforceable would allow the right kind of authorities to deal with that challenge. It's ridiculous that the United States says that you have to do something that breaks the law before we can become involved, so the woman dies before anything can happen for change. I don't know what the answer is, but there are people out there who can formulate a correct answer. What's happening in the law in terms of women needs to be changed.
Even without the recent protests, which were triggered not only by the death of George Floyd, but by other deaths recently,
that are happening after he died. To watch the police, it's like they don't get a clue. Like they're not even thinking, you know. They have a set way to deal with people of color, particularly black males, and so they do. They kill our men, they kill our women, they kill our children with impunity. How is that so in America?
And the death of Mr. Aubrey at the hands of a white former cop and mm-hmm. his son, who literally profiled him, tracked him down, stalked him, murdered him, and then weeks went by without any charges, even though there was video of the killing.
Yes, but again, this is America. In America, black men are criminals automatically, and black children are criminals automatically. So they kill them outright because they believe that they can get away with it, and they often do.
As more people of color gain some power, and it's a gradual process, as laws are shifted, you might see some change, but I think that in many respects, the election of Trump was a reaction to Barack Obama's election.
Very much so. I remember saying before he got elected, because I was one of those who knew he was going to be elected, that he was going to be elected because he was white, you know, and he was male, and he was rich because he's one of the greatest crooks in the world as well. And thus it was so. And then he came into office and do what I knew he was going to do after I saw President Obama's reaction to him at a press conference. I thought of that as being a very bad mistake when I was watching him berate. I said to myself, this guy ever runs for president and get it, he's going to try to ruin every single thing that Obama has ever done. And he is going to hurt people of color. And it's been so.
It's not only destroying attempting to destroy whatever the Obama administration accomplished.
Successfully destroying.
Yes.
Because he has this. I wish white people would take a look at how much of the country he has already disassembled. I mean, and the way that he is making sure that there's no one of any importance that has any office that he cannot override. He's doing exactly what I believe he's a Russian agent. I always have. And he's doing his job. I think he's someone who loves Putin. And I think Putin even said it very clearly. He said recently that I can't say his name most of the time because I can't remember it. President
Pumpkinhead.
Well, that's good. The orange man listens well. Why is it that people can't get a clue from that? That this man is a Russian agent, you know? He may be an unwitting Russian agent. He may not be a deliberate Russian agent, but he wants to be like Putin, so he does the stuff that Putin is doing.
Well, Trump has shown his admiration for dictators and autocrats across the world, whether it's the North Korean dictator or Bolsonaro in Brazil. It's all over the place.
Yeah. I think that he admired Hitler based on some things. There's some pictures of him that put next to some pictures of Hitler with him having the exact same poses, physical poses, body language. I think that he's a very, very dangerous man.
So how do we get past this period? How can our grandchildren hope to survive given the destruction of any movement towards and cleaning up the environment, towards, you know, preventing global warming, etc.? I mean, we were at the tipping point before the Trump administration came into place, and it may be too late to recover.
Yes, it very well may be. If people would understand what we have in the way of a president, and just go vote. Are you listening to me out there? Go and vote. You can vote these people out. Go do what you're supposed to do and vote. That's my greatest fear, that people will stay home on their fat behinds and not go vote. We are the fattest people in the world, by the way, as Americans. Just go vote. That's all you have to do. Vote these people out, and they will then come in and restart the reversal part. They will reverse all of this, and you will be in a position as voters and citizens to make change. You can't stay home this time. You got to get out of the house or do the absentee ballots and vote. Vote these people out.
In your life, how would you compare this time with the 60s, the 70s, with the periods of strife that you have seen?
Well, there's an absolute sea change. I mean, because I'm following the COVID-19 rules and regulations and procedures, I get a chance to watch the change that has occurred in America. This thing that's happening in America right now, as I said a little earlier, I've been waiting for 62 years to see white people go back into their own communities and make the kind of changes I was talking about 62 years ago. I think of Tim Wise, who has been speaking as a Jewish white man against racism for a number of years. I was speaking about Jewish racism, about racism 40 years before he was born, and saying all the same things. And he admits, which I think is grand, that all the things that he is saying are things that he got from black people. But white people don't want to hear from black people. White people want to hear from white people. And so he's been able to make a very good life for his family, saying all the things I was saying 40 years before he was born. You know, I'm not bothered by that, because I've been waiting for white people to do that, but there needs to be more, a lot more.
Professor, is there anything else that you might like to share with anyone listening to this interview?
Yes, I need state legislators and the government to do better by us elders. That's a major thing for me because I am an elder living on a fixed income, which is way too low for my personal survivor. And I think that elders need to be, what is the word I'm looking for? They need to be uplifted very much more. I mean, the idea that some corporate or governmental institution can turn elder people out of their houses because some white corporate whatevers want to make money out of evicting them from their homes. What do they call that? There's this something mortgage that, you know.
Reverse mortgage?
You know, the reverse mortgages will kill you if you're not careful. But there's an eviction, something to do with mortgage. I can't think of the phrase, mm-hmm. where they take your house. And it's been happening big time for the last 5 to 10 years.
Default on the mortgage.
Yeah, when you default on the mortgage, they can kick you out of your house. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. I mean, we just mistreat our elders so badly. It's awful.
I would guess that you did hear of this idea from Trump and the administration to offer a lump sum settlement to Medicare recipients who are in desperate straits right now in exchange for giving up future Medicare payments?
Like I said, the man is crazy. I mean, if we were good Christians, we would be taking care of our elders. There would be no way that anything like that could happen anywhere in terms of government structures or anything else. All the medical professions would be taking care of our elders. Any kind of legal administrative kind of stuff would be taking care of our elders. We are one of America's greatest profit centers, which is why these things are happening to us. What's wrong with you, America? What did your grandparents do to you that you treat them so bad? And the worst people in terms of treating us have been conservative Republicans. It's all about the money for them.
Well, it is indeed, especially when you consider that they pushed through one of the largest welfare packages for American corporations just recently. And before that, they cut tax rates so severely that they were already in deficit before the pandemic came along. And the way they're going to balance the budget, cut entitlements, cut money that's going to poor people, yeah, basically, and working people.
Thank you for bringing that up. Social Security is not an entitlement. That's our money. We put that money into the system. And you, as particularly the Republican Party, have been robbing Social Security for many, many years. Now you want to rob us even more. Leave our Medicare and Medicaid alone and leave Social Security alone. That's not your money, it's ours.
I've been speaking with Professor Dana Chandler, and I thank you.
I thank you for coming over and for us being able to do this.